Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards scheduled to join us later in the hour at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans, all things NFL, the Super Bowl, with him coming up later in the program. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. So, Rex, we had Kuharski in for his weekly visit yesterday, and one of the subjects that came up was Will Levis and what his role here could be moving forward. Now, Will Levis was apparently down at the Super Bowl this week and caught up with the media, and Jim Wyatt put a piece together on him at TennesseeTitans.com, and Brian Callahan kind of clued us in a couple of weeks ago on what the offseason plans look like for Will Levis. He's going to go out to California, work with Jordan Palmer, quarterback's coach, and has a specific set of things that Brian Callahan and the Titans want to see him work on. So all that's great. We'll see what that looks like and if there's some improvement there from Will Levis over the offseason. Kuharski was talking yesterday and said, like, Will Levis is going to be on the roster. Like, he is going to be here by the time training camp rolls around. And I don't know that I totally agree with that from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, I made the case at the end of the year last year that I just don't think that's a good idea. Like, I think if you're moving on from Will Levis, you need to move on from Will Levis. And I understand the idea of he's a young quarterback, and you look around the league right now and you see a lot of these guys that are on their second or third teams that are starting to be late bloomers, if you will, and playing better. So I get that idea. And if you wanted to go purely, Joe, the veteran route, and that's your plan if you're the Titans this offseason, where it's like, all right, we've circled whoever it is, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, whoever, and that's who you're going after and targeting as a quarterback, then maybe it does make a little bit more sense to have Levis on the roster after that. If your plan is to draft a quarterback, I think it makes no sense whatsoever to have Will Levis around on this team. I think you need a veteran backup if you're going to go with Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. And if I was in charge, I'd probably move on from Levis this offseason regardless. But I think certainly if you're going rookie quarterback, he will not be on this roster by the time training camp comes around.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, look, the veteran QB, we've talked about this too, but, you know, the veteran QB scenario is Levis is not, to me, the ideal reliable veteran game managing guy as a backup. You know, Levis is a young quarterback trying to make his way in this league who takes big chances and takes big swings, and so far it's worked out a lot, you know, bad than good for him. So, like, it's not an ideal backup for the veteran. So I mean, look, it's the best situation to me for Levis, which is not a great situation for the Titans, but the best situation for Levis is probably like maybe a Justin Fields, maybe a Jameis Winston or something, where it's kind of like, you know, I guess it's a competition. But how excited would people be around here if it was Jameis Winston or Will Levis? Or, yeah, like, like Justin Fields, to me, would be the starter if it was him and Levis in a two-quarterback thing. But at the same time, if Justin Fields doesn't progress and Levis takes huge steps next year, then okay, then he could end up passing him. But again, how good is your quarterback play overall if that's the case?
Doesn't sound great. And like, look, I understand this is going to be his third year coming up. So there's still a chance, and I know some people will just dismiss this out of hand. That's fine. I get it. I would probably, if I was a betting man, dismiss it too. But there's a chance that Levis continues to work, continues to develop, and at some point turns into a much more reliable player and reliable bridge starter, fringe starter than he is right now. Like, now, look, I think the idea of him just totally figuring it out at some point and being like some star quarterback. I just can't see that with him. I've been wrong before, but I can't see that with him, so we'll see what happens on that front. If you're the Titans looking at it, yes, you have roster control over him. You have an opportunity where you're not paying him that much money since you took him in the second round, so you can make some arguments as to why it makes sense to keep him around. I just think when you move on from a quarterback like that, it's a really difficult scenario to kind of maintain there in that room. Now, having said that, he said all the right things. Like, one thing he brought up this week at the Super Bowl was like, you know, we went 3-14. I'm not offended by the idea that they're going out and looking for another quarterback. It's up to him to prove all those things. So credit to him. Like, he's not sitting here moping and pouting, and quite frankly, nobody would feel sorry for him if he was, given the way that he's played. So he at least, I think, gets it and gets the situation that he's put himself in. A lot of times in these situations in sports, I think it's better just to go ahead and move on.
Yeah, I agree. When it's just such a reduced role from what the hope was, you know, a year ago, it's like, is this guy going to make, you know, be the guy, and they finally found someone and he's going to get a $250 million contract to, hey, I guess he can hang around. Yeah, it's just, I think it's better for both sides a lot of times to switch it up. Some people talk about, you know, having him as the three. I guess. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, I think Levis will be here too. They're talking too much about him to be dropping him. Definitely in the back of their head. I say keep him, draft Howard, go get Cousins. Levis is the third. So just remember with the talking about him thing. I mean, the Falcons are talking about, well, Kirk Cousins, yeah. And he's not going to be there.
Right.
Yeah, until something happens, that's just what you do. And I'm not saying that the Titans are 100%. They know for sure Levis won't be here, but I wouldn't read too much into them talking about him now. Right now, he's under contract. They don't have other options. So if someone asks him about Will Levis, he's got to get better. He's going to do all he can. We believe, whatever. Yeah, you're going to say the right things.
Well, and again, you know, they've asked about, you know, Mike Borgonzi has talked about giving Will Levis every opportunity and all these things. They're saying all the right stuff. But, like, go look at Brian Callahan's comments immediately after the year in his season-ending press conference. He's like, yeah, we got to get better quarterback play, and we're going out to look for a quarterback. Like, they made no bones about what they're doing. They're going to look for another quarterback.
Yeah, and then the question is just if then Levis is still in the equation at all or not. But I'm with you. I think it's better for both parties for that to not happen. But we don't know, you know, we don't know what they're going to do, who they're going to get, who they can get.
Yeah, well, and you know, a texter says there aren't many backups that I would take over Levis. I hear the thought process behind that, but I think it depends on what you want. Like, what do you want from your backup quarterback? Because, look, Levis could go out there. We've seen it. We saw it even this year. He had some games, not enough, obviously, but some games where he was slinging it around and he looked good. He made some throws that not a lot of quarterbacks in the league can make. Like, there's still a lot physically there that I think you like. The problem that I have with him being a backup, like, I need my backup quarterback to come in and to be in control and to protect the football. And he has not displayed that he can protect the football. Now, can you get better in that? Yeah, I guess. But, like, how many people get, like, dramatically better at that? It doesn't happen a ton. It does happen, but it doesn't happen a ton. So, like, I want my backup quarterback to be somebody that could come in and take care of the football. And, yeah, I'd love for my backup quarterback to be able to win games, but I think a big reason that some backup quarterbacks in this league are able to come in and win games is that they protect the football. And they don't have – I mean, how many backups are coming in and throwing for 450 and slinging it all over the yard? Just doesn't happen very often in this league.
Yeah, you throw a little Fitz magic in there. No, it's like if I had to choose between these two guys, like, this is your starting quarterback and you got to see what you have and you're going for high ceiling and all that. If I'm choosing between Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, I'm going to take Levis because I know what Rudolph is. If I'm choosing between Levis and Rudolph for my QB2, I'm going to take Rudolph because I know what Rudolph is. He's a safe, solid backup. So that's the problem is, like, Levis, to me, he's going to be someone's, like, backup next year, and I wouldn't be surprised if at some point down the road he gets another chance to start. You know, hopefully for him he does. it might be one of those, you know, couple weeks of spot starting situation. But yeah, I mean, he's the kind of high risk, high reward player that a lot of teams are like, yeah, that's not what I want in QB2.
Right. Now, I say all this, how attractive is Will Levis? Like, if the Titans decide that they want to move on from him, I mean, you're going to try to get something for him. Now, the trade for him would be not a huge return, obviously. But how many teams would give up a, I don't know, sixth to go get Will Levis? Like, we're making the natural connection now that Liam Cohen is the head coach in Jacksonville because they've worked together, that that could be a fit. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I have no idea what their plans are going to be at backup quarterback there. But I would wonder, like, if the Titans do want to move on from him, how many suitors would there be this offseason for him at some point? For somebody to take a shot?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it was something, maybe a six, I guess. I don't think you'd be talking about a robust market. You know, texture says Levis better than Sanders. Well, yeah, I don't know. Also says TD is the only one I've heard talking highly of Sanders. I've watched ESPN, listened to the analysts calling the station, heard non-positive stuff about Sanders in the first round. Well, I've said if I were taking one of these two quarterbacks, I would take Sanders. I've heard other people. I think the consensus would be Ward better prospect, but there's TD's not on an island in liking Sanders better than Ward.
I got one text that says, I don't understand the hate on Levis. He's a good quarterback. Yep, he's made mistakes, but he was also a rookie that could not train under a veteran quarterback. If he could train under a veteran, have a better line, and better receivers, he'd be good. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Who was the quarterback when he was a rookie? He was, I mean, Tannehill's pretty good.
Yeah.
Quarterback to learn from, no?
You know, Tannehill not doing a whole lot of mentoring.
Doesn't like to mentor.
Yeah,
that's true. Nah, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think it's hopeless for Levis in the NFL by any means, but after last season, I also, like someone saying, I don't understand the hate on Levis. He's a good quarterback. I got to question that a little bit.
You can think he's got potential, and that's fine, but he is objectively not a good quarterback right now. Like, the numbers are what they are. He's not a good quarterback right now. Doesn't mean he can't ever be one at some point, but right now he is not a good quarterback.
Yeah, you can't put the entirety of his 2024 season on everybody else.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on Will Levis. Plus, NFL.com down on a recent Titans draft pick. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, scheduled to join us coming up at 7:30. I was looking at NFL.com last night, Joe. You know, it's that time of year. Everybody's together at the Super Bowl, and you never know what interesting stories people may find there. Like, we had Josh Jacobs of the Packers yesterday got on radio screaming about how they need to find number one wide receiver. It's fun.
No offense to our guys. I love them, but they suck.
No offense to any of our guys, but we really need to find somebody better at wide receiver, which I don't disagree with. But
I love you guys.
Was kind of stunned he said it.
I love you guys, but you're not very good.
So they've done this on NFL.com. They've done this redraft of the 2024 rookie class. So Ali Bonpuri and Tom Blair put this together at NFL.com. And it's like, basically, the thought process behind it was, like, if you're the Bears, would you still take Caleb Williams or would you take Jaden Daniels? And they've gone with Jaden Daniels in this at number one, which I think very difficult to argue that right now with the way that he's played.
Anybody saying otherwise is full of crap right now.
I agree. So they've gone Jaden Daniels at one with Chicago, Caleb Williams at two with Washington. Now, I'm not going to sit here and go through, like, all of their redrafts here. Like, the first four picks are quarterbacks. Bo Nix has moved up to number four with Denver can trade up with them now. They've had the Titans trading back in this thing with the Raiders. So there's all this movement that goes on here. But the point is, like, I'm going through this redraft that they've put together, and I was curious when I saw it. I was like, all right, they've gone through the whole first round here. Like, where is J.C. Latham? So I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I get all the way through the end of the first round, and J.C. Latham, not there. J.C. Latham is not a part of their 2024 redraft of the first round of draft. Now, there is a Titan who is. They've got at number 32 via trade back with Kansas City. the Arizona Cardinals selecting Tavondre Sweat at the end of the first round. So they do have they have Sweat in the first round. They do not have J.C. Latham. Are they too down on J.C. Latham after 1 year? Or with the way that J.C. Latham played, which I would describe, Joe, as I thought there was a lot of good from Latham. I thought toward the end of the year particularly it got worse with Latham, and it kind of felt like he hit a wall. And we'll see what that means for him moving forward. But apparently the NFL.com folks, pretty down on J.C. Latham. Your thoughts?
That's interesting. I guess if I would have – you told me about this exercise in advance, I would have guessed, you know, he'd be like it late in the first round. But you know what? Look, it's not like – I mean, look, in the first round, you're hoping for an impact, really good, especially that point of the first round. But even in the first round in general, you're hoping for an impact player right away. And I'm with you. I think that 2-3 years from now, you could go back to this. You know, if you did one of these like 4 or 5 years later, I think we could be in a situation where he would be a first round pick. You know, it's the first year for a rookie offensive lineman switching sides, and I'm far from giving up on him. But yeah, he had some rough games, some rough reps, and. I'm going through this now, and you know, there's not too much that's the same. Obviously, I mean, but there are a lot of guys who are still first round who have moved up a little bit, first round moved down a little bit.
The Sweat thing was interesting too.
Yeah, that's
apparently
interesting.
Moved up.
They still have the Chiefs taking Worthy.
Well, they
okay.
do.
All right. But yeah, that is interesting.
I mean, for those curious, by the way, the Titans moved down in this thing to 13, and they had him taking Marvin Harrison Jr. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well, he's pretty good. Yeah, that's interesting that Sweat would move up. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't
either.
Either.
I mean,
yeah.
I think Sweat. You know, I think Sweat. There's plenty of promise there, for sure. You know, again, we'll see. We'll see if he can take another step. If he doesn't take another step, he's a solid defensive lineman. I thought like Simmons, for example. You go back to Simmons' rookie year, coming off the ACL. And he really only played in the last few games, but
yep.
You saw it like, whoa, okay? I wouldn't say that's what we saw with Tavondre Sweat. Also, Tavondre Sweat was a second-round pick that some people thought was a reach, so there's a difference in the level of prospect. But, yeah, that's a little surprising to me.
At the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter what the NFL.com people think or the redraft or all that, but I bring it up because I think it does highlight an interesting question, like, from the Titans' perspective on Latham. Like, if you're Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan looking at his first year, how do you feel about it? Like, are you still convinced after 1 year that he can be an elite left tackle in the league? Because keep in mind, when you draft somebody at number 7 overall, that's what you need them to be. You need him to be an upper echelon left tackle in the league. And they made the decision to take him from right tackle that he played in college and put him on the left side. And again, like I thought he had plenty of games, moments, reps this year where it was good. Like you could see it and you're like, wow, like he looks pretty stout over on the left side. And then again, there were some times where he kind of looked lost out there. And I thought in particular the worrisome part for me was I did feel like it got a little worse as the year went on. So I'm curious from the Titans' perspective, when you sift through all of it, what's your viewpoint on Latham after 1 year? Do you still have a lot of confidence that he's your foundational franchise left tackle? Or are you kind of rethinking that right now and maybe open to the idea that some have tossed out already this offseason where maybe move him back over to the right and go address left tackle somewhere else? The problem is it's just really hard to do that right now.
Yeah, there's just no clear answer there. You're not doing – I don't think you're doing that well enough in free agency to be like, oh, yeah, we've got our left tackle. If you're going to do that, you got to do it in the draft, and it doesn't make sense where they are. Even if they move down a little bit, it doesn't make sense to do it there. So I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see. They have to obviously get another tackle. They have to get another starting-level tackle, and then they can figure it out. But I think with Latham – it's hope. It's the same thing with Skoronski. It's just another year down the road. And I think you could say Skoronski took a step from rookie to second year. I think Skoronski is interesting because I see a wide range of opinions on him. I heard somebody the other day say I don't remember who this was, but maybe it was Trevor Maddich. But somebody was like, yeah, I don't think it was him, but someone was like, well, his pass blocking is pretty good, but, you know, that run blocking is where Skoronski really – and I'm like, see, that's not what I see. I see him as a mauler in the run game who at times really struggles in the pass pro. But I think with both of them, you're just – like, it's – you're hoping that they get better and keep getting better, better together as a unit, better because Bill Callahan is a great offensive line coach, you know, like – because certainly right now, neither of those guys are players that, like, they would not be in any conversation to be Pro Bowlers. And you have so many other things to fix on your roster, and you need some things like this to break your way in terms of player development.
Well, and you need some young guys that are foundational pieces. Like, it's one thing to be drafted to be one, but you need to actually turn into one, right? Like, they need some of their – forget, like, this year's draft with quarterback – they need a Skoronski to really be, you know, heading into next year or something you feel great about at left guard. And maybe he doesn't ever live up to being the number 11 overall pick. But again, at this point, I would settle for him if I'm a Titans fan, being a really, really good starter. Like, I would settle for that right now. You need J.C. Latham to be a guy that you look at it by the end of next season, Joe, and say, that right there is our left tackle for the next 10 years. You need that to happen if you're the Titans next year.
Right. You like look at any position. How many people right now on this roster are you like, okay, that young player is definitely going to be in place for a long time?
I don't think it exists on this roster right now. Now there's some guys that have a chance.
Like Sweat.
Right.
Latham, Skoronski.
Yeah, like they've got a chance.
You hope, I guess you could say, look at Brownlee and say, yeah, you know, he could be a starting corner here for a long time. It's
slim pickets.
Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Todd Richards, Fred's assistant coach, coming up next. The Rob Rant at 745, and Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes, where I will attempt to really settle, I think, a cultural debate. We'll get into that.
Oh, okay.
A little bit later in the program. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores taking on Texas with an 8 o'clock tip-off, pregame show beginning at 7:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt women's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium February 5th through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Maddie on the text line talking about going back to the Skoronski discussion says, PFF for what it's worth has Peter at 12th in the league in pass blocking grades and 106th in run blocking. Going back to the pass blocking, run blocking conversation. PFF, according to those numbers, a better pass blocker. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I don't know. If that's the case, I don't know, Maddie, if you have the year before. But if that's the case, then I think you would say he improved as a pass blocker dramatically from rookie year and regressed as a run blocker.
I guess.
Right?
I mean, look, I know the PFF grades, they can say what they will. That's fine. I know that I've seen Skoronski and Latham both together have some pretty darn impressive run reps out there. Now, look, you can find that. We talk about Dillard all the time, right? Like, you can find some impressive pass sets from Andre Dillard. If you want to look hard enough, it wasn't like he was just a total revolving door over there.
Every single play.
It was just when it was bad, boy, was it bad with Andre Dillard.
And it was bad too often.
So you can make the same case for, like, you can find good run blocking reps from a lot of guards in this league. It doesn't mean that you're a great run blocking guard all the time just because you've got some reps.
I just feel like you could see movement, you know, over there. And there were times when he just was very physical. And I just feel like, you know, I'm not going to talk about his fat feet, but I just feel like at times.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Fat feet. But I just feel like at times, you know, it was real bad on the pass pro. But I'm not going to pretend that I went through like whatever PFF's people did and, you know, graded every rep. So, but the bottom line is both of them need to get better at both things, you know, and they need to be a reliable duo over there. And at least that takes care of one little part of your football team that otherwise is needs so much help, which is like why Lenny says, as long as everybody concedes the fact the Titans are going to suck again, we can move on with getting the best players available and build a team for the future. In other words, you know, don't use that all that capital on a QB.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we talk all the time about fixing right tackle and fixing the offensive line. Well, those two have to be a big part of this, right? Like, you've got to see continued improvement. Because, I mean, that side right now, I would not say is fixed. Now, you feel good about, I think, the potential of those two together and what that can mean long term. This is also, I think, Joe, an offseason and a training camp next year and a development program where you need to see the Bill Callahan part of this shine through. Like, there needs to be a dramatic jump from year one to year two from J.C. Latham. That's what you brought Bill Callahan in for. He's one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time. And this is your evaluation. Like, he was a big part of the evaluation of J.C. Latham. I said it earlier. I'll say it again. You need to walk out of next season. And one of the things that we need to be talking about on this show when the Titan season ends next year is J.C. Latham is going to be a very good left tackle around here for a long time. And if that's not the case at the end of the next year, to me, that's very disappointing.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you need some, again, you need some of these things to break your way. Look, Taylor Lewan, you know, the last great left tackle the Titans had, and I do think he was great for a few years. He was not early. He was not at all. And there was all kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, they were a terrible team, kind of similar, right? Basically about a decade ago, they were terrible. People questioned him. Should he move to the right side, take the cap, take the C off his jersey, you know, malarkey. They're going into the draft of 9 years ago, there was a major question about Taylor Lewan. He went in and, you know, told John Robinson, I'm your left tackle, and he had a great run for his career, you know. I mean, this is just 1 year for Latham, but it's just an example of it doesn't always happen right away.
Right.
And you can improve in the NFL. It actually is possible.
Anthony on the YouTube chat, going back to the redraft on NFL.com, was asking where Joe Alt was taken. He was sixth in the redraft, so he was the first non-QB taken.
But it was the Chargers again.
It was
right?
The Chargers yeah. again, so I guess there was some sort of trade back.
They moved down, I guess,
yeah,
a little bit.
But, yeah, so the first five picks of the redraft here were all the quarterbacks, right? So it's, you know, Daniels, Williams, May, Nix, and Penix were your first five. And then Joe Alt, the first non-QB.
Wouldn't it be great to see the redraft of this year a year in advance?
Yes, it would.
Will we see, you know, Sanders, Ward, Milrow, Dart, McCord, all in the top five?
Howard. Yep.
Yeah. Probably not. Or will we see, like, no quarterbacks at all in the first round? That's possible.
Well,
I bet you the redraft of 2020 three.
Yeah.
Was
well,
that?
I'm trying
right?
to think of who said
easily.
It. You know, Stillman had somebody on this week, and I can't remember if it was the analytics guy that we were talking about earlier or if it was somebody else. But they basically said they wouldn't be surprised if they saw like a Kenny Pickett style draft this year. Like, they're still not convinced that it's just going to be Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders in the top five, like everybody just assumes it's going to be at some point, which I don't know. Like, I don't know how that's going to shake out. I do remember that just because the conversation around the quarterbacks is one thing heading into the draft doesn't mean it plays out that way. I bring this example up all the time. It was like the morning of the draft, and there were still people with mock drafts and out there talking about Malik Willis going number two overall.
Yeah.
And he ended up going at number 86.
Yeah, I guess I could see it. I'd be surprised. I feel like somebody is going to talk themselves into Cam Ward.
I agree. High.
But – I'm sure, like, a lot of the conversation in any of these markets, you know, Giants, Raiders, you know, all these QB needy teams, is the same thing, which is like, don't just take the QB because you have to have a QB now. That's what bad teams do. Like, everybody knows that, right? This is not some big league secret. It's just when it comes down to it, you talk yourself into people. Cam Ward is definitely the type of prospect. Someone's going to talk themselves into him for sure.
I would agree. JC in Goodlettsville says, I'm trading back, taking a pass rusher and a left tackle the first two picks and moving Latham over to right. We've heard that a lot. Like, a lot of people have talked about the idea of moving Latham back to the right side. I don't necessarily hate it if you have a solution at left tackle that you feel good about. The problem is, and again, all it takes is one person in the draft. But generally speaking, Joe, this does not seem to be anywhere near the level of tackle draft class that even last year's was with Alt and Latham and all those guys. Like, it feels like there's not a high level of confidence among the draft gurus anyway, right, that this is going to be a great tackle class.
Yeah. And you may have two Hall of Famers out of them, but that is the – it's definitely a less highly regarded tackle group than those guys were last year. And Latham, there are people going gaga about Latham. And, again, the question was right, left, but, you know, so there were people that were saying, yeah, he is the best one. And, you know, I think maybe the Titans would have taken Alt if he was there, but he wasn't there. Maddie says Latham is 59th in pass blocking, 93rd in run blocking on PFF. Given that crap sandwich on the right side, I can't believe Pollard ran for more than 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Kind of is amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe Tony Pollard should have been MVP conversation.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 93rd, right? I don't know, man. That's not what I saw. But, again, I can't sit here and say that I went through every rep. I also can't sit here and say that I really give much of a crap about PFF, and I never have. I mean, I'm sorry.
You have been consistent on that front.
Yeah. I mean, especially, though.
No disrespect to Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, especially the instant game grades. Those are just dumb. I mean, they really are. Yeah, you know, look, they do some things compiling. You know, there's some things you can do. If you go through film, you can count up some things, and there's some value in the data.
Yeah.
The analysis, man, I don't know. Yeah, there's so many times when you may think an offensive lineman's doing this or that, and you don't know what the assignment is. You know, that really does happen a lot.
I got a texter that says, we keep talking about trading back, but what teams are wanting to trade up? Which, again, we talk about that. You can want to trade back. You don't always have the opportunity to do so, and it would take one of those teams that you were just talking about, whether that's the Giants or the Raiders or whoever, that fall in love with a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders. And there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Like, could somebody want to move up? I heard somebody bring this up yesterday. Like, if the Browns trade Myles Garrett, would that be enough for them to try to move up to stop the Titans from taking Abdul Carter or anybody else from taking Abdul Carter at number one? Maybe. Although, if I'm the Titans and I love Abdul Carter, I'd be like, nah, you know, I'll just stick right here and take Abdul Carter. But I don't know. Like, is the Myles Garrett thing going to influence Cleveland to try to really get in there for Abdul Carter? Maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
You trading up? Like, the trade up for the non-quarterback, especially the number one pick, is just so rare.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really happen.
Doesn't happen much. And to this texter, I say this every year. People are like, yeah, it's trade back. I'm like, okay, well, why does someone want to get to 12? Or why does someone want to get to 17? When you're one, usually you're going to have the opportunity. It may not be exactly what you want, but you're going to have multiple teams at least giving you a call, right?
Yeah, I just tried to drink some coffee, and, like, it went down my shirt. So there's that, too. Have the Rob rant coming up next. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
How much signal I need to cut across 8 lane? None? I turn now. Good luck, everybody else.
What are you talking about, you psycho? You gotta drive!
Not everybody knows how to do everything. Driving isn't the only thing.
Just move your car!
Okay.
I don't know how I can!
Oh my god, just grab the steering wheel!
Fine!
Ow! It hurt?
Yeah, it does!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning. Either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. And I feel like there's some, cultural issues that I need to tackle today here on the program.
Before you do, what was that from?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I can't control what Keezer mashes together back there, but I have no clue. So I was a little bit sheltered growing up in terms of traveling around. Like, basically, if I was traveling somewhere as a child and or a young adult, it was to Gatlinburg, to some baseball tournament somewhere around the Southeast, or in Florida. Like, that's basically where I went growing up. Now, as I became, you know, more of an adult and started to pay for my own things, ended up in Chicago doing some work, ended up in New York, you know, all these different places in different parts of the country. And one of the things that was really fascinating to me, particularly like in Chicago and New York, some of your bigger northern cities, was like, man, these people honk at each other a lot. Like, there's a lot of honking going on. Like, the first 5 minutes I was in New York, I got out of a taxi, and I guess I didn't retrieve my bag quickly enough from the taxi in New York, and this dude just started laying down on the horn on me to the point where I grabbed my bag, threw it straight up in the air, and walked and slammed the hood of his car. I was like, you ready to fight? Because that's to me what it is. Like, in the South, like, you honk your car, you better be ready to fight. Like, that's what it was when I was growing up. So I'm sitting here the other day. I'm navigating through the McDonald's drive-thru, and I'm just pulling in. I'm not in the drive-thru yet. I'm kind of wheeling around. And, you know, I just drive. I have the right-of-way. And this person, like, is trying to jet out of the drive-thru line and then honks at me because I'm in the road that they're trying to cut in front of. So they just lay on their horn. And, you know, I roll my window down, stick my head out the window, and I say, hey, you moron, what are you honking at? I have the right-of-way. And come to find out, it's like some 70-year-old lady just laying their horn on me at the driveway, which I felt bad about yelling at her in the aftermath of that. But, like, to me, it's been like, if you honk your horn to, like, signal that you're mad about something, you better be prepared to fight. Apparently, everywhere else, honking the horn is just a thing. People just do that. It is a character flaw of mine. If you honk your horn at me, it sets me off. I don't know what it is about it. So my question is this, like, a regional thing? Do people just say, yep, we just honk at each other, that's what we do? Or am I a psychopath, and this is just a personal problem that I've really got to work on as we move forward here?
I was going to say, it might be a little bit of your affinity for throwing hands thing. Might be, you know, maybe a little bit.
In fairness, I always generally stop myself before it comes to that.
That's good.
Generally.
So I think there are levels to this. So, look, I've been in the situation where I get distracted. I'm at a light. It turns green. I'm sitting there talking to my kid, and it's been 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's someone, bam, no, that's my bad. Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. Like, there's that, like, the
– I think that's, yeah.
To get someone, like, just to get, like, go,
get
come on,
attention.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's a quick honk. The loud,
the
aggressive –
laying on the horn.
Laying on the horn, aggressive honk. I mean, I don't know that it's necessary. I don't know that I would go with, like, it's an invitation to fight, but it's definitely anger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's at least like, okay, the next step is going to be angry words, right?
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully, you know, it doesn't get to throwing hands and, you know, whoever's packing heat or whatever.
Yeah.
You gotta
watch yourself nowadays.
Yeah, you gotta watch yourself. But, so it's funny you say that because, you know, as every once in a while I talk about my 3 years in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
If you go downtown Dahran, Saudi Arabia, at least in the mid-80s, here's what you hear. Beep, 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 beep. Like, all day long, nothing. It's just like there's not even any reason to honk at people. And it's just like, we have horns, and it's a really rich country, and everybody has, like, awesome Mercedes, and we're just going to honk? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is definitely regional, cultural, things like that. The laying on the horn... You better be sure that, like, you better be prepared for, like, someone to be mad at you back. So you better be sure that you're right if you
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Like, the laying, again, you know, I was walking around, like, New York and Chicago. She's like, man, these people just honk at each other all the time.
It's yeah.
Like, that gets annoying.
Well, like, taxi driver, yeah. I mean, they're very aggressive, and they are. It's just like, I mean, it's incredible.
It was a little bit of a culture shock the first time I experienced it. And now when I'm there, I'm just like, okay, it's just apparently what these
you
people do.
You just know that's what it's – and if you're in a taxi there, you also know they're going to do some driving stuff that you can't believe they're doing.
Yeah.
And you need to be buckled up and
exactly,
ready.
Exactly.
And they're going to be honking and just blowing by people, and it's – absolutely. I mean, it's like playing Frogger if you're trying to walk.
We do have one vote for I'm 100% a personal psychopath on the text line, which is, look, I'm leaving the door open for that. Like, I'm not saying that that's not the case. It could be. Brock on the text line says, it really depends on the type of honk. If someone honks behind you and then makes a hand gesture, you're 100% throwing hands. This is from Brock on the text line.
Oh, like a hand gesture, like a
middle finger victory salute, or what kind of hand gesture?
Okay, that's a hand gesture we're saying. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Again, it's like, what are they honking about? Again, if it's your fault, like that, what I'm laying out, which I've done it to people, I almost never honk, but it's usually that, right? I mean, I honk if someone cuts in front of me, and it's like, I just had to slow down to prevent me from killing you, so I'm going to, as you go thing. By, yeah. Right? But that's, you're passing each other and all that. Yeah, the length of the honk, yes, Keith, exactly. The length of the honk, if it's beep, beep, come on.
Yeah,
fine.
Like, I don't know what it is, but the extended laying on the horn that lasts for like 2 or 3 seconds, it just lights a fire inside of me. I don't get it. It's apparently something I need to work on.
I mean, Adam in Portland's on your side.
What'd he say?
In the South, honking isn't just a sound, it's a challenge. If you honk at someone, you're not just expressing frustration, you're initiating a potential showdown.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
So maybe you're not a psycho.
There you go. Maddie says, if you honk at me, I better have done something stupid. So I can give the humble my bad wave. If not, be prepared. That is kind of the worst, too, is like when somebody honks at you and you're like, yeah, man, I feel you. That was on me.
Yeah. I think you got to do that. You got to be – if you're willing to be mad at people, then when you screw up, do the – my bad.
Yeah, I've never really thought about being, I guess taking personal responsibility and accountability in this discussion. But when I leaned my head out of the window the other day to yell at the 70-year-old lady, that's when I thought, all right, this probably needs to be something I work on moving forward.
At least you didn't silently just get out of your car and get in her face.
I know, but it seems you are turning onto my street and you think this is my fault. Why are you honking at me? Once you learn how to drive.
Did she what was her reaction back to you?
She then waved at me in apology, and then I felt even worse. I was like, good God.
Sorry, scary man. Okay, I'm going to leave now.
I rounded the corner. I was like, geez, I just yelled at an old lady.
Good stuff. It happens.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things NFL, the Super Bowl, the Myles Garrett situation, what's going to happen with Matt Stafford, all that and more coming up next. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No